Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. Kick off the third hour. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the various features that we have there for you. Totally free. Archives going back for many years and more. All at freetalklive.com. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. But with you here tonight, it's Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is also here.
And coming up later on tonight, we have Beard Talk Live. I believe you guys are going to be joined by Zephin.
That is indeed the plan.
That's the legend, anyway.
Very allegedly. Cool. He's legendary. There's no doubt about it.
He is a legend.
He's like the top liberty activist with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, doing more bill reviews every year than I think almost everyone else combined.
Correct.
Yeah. If I'm recalling correctly.
He does all of them, and he loves it. Like, this is, that is literally his leisure activity.
Yeah. He is something else.
We love having him on Beard Talk Live as well.
So that's later tonight. That's 10:30 Eastern time when we'll get into what you guys will be able to get into whatever the hell topics we were going to get into on the radio show tonight.
Show enough.
After having done a little geeking out there with
I do want to say real quick, though, that, like, it's what I call immemorial weekend.
Because
like, everybody just thinks
it's... No one has ever remembered it.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's get drunk and barbecue weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this crazy idea because of my anti-statist views that on, you know, Memorial Day or Labor Day or Veterans Day, I've seen a lot of... I want to say entitled veterans, right? Who like, let me see your veterans menu, right? You know, kind of a thing where like they're
I want my discount.
They're bitchy about it, really, is what I'm saying, right? They you know, and so I thought of this great sort of reverse idea where if you're an establishment, you just go ahead and make up a veterans menu, but the prices are like double.
That is the libertarian way to do it, right there.
There have been some places that have refused to serve police.
Yeah.
In other towns or
like,
whatever.
Oh, you served the bankers and the warlords in government? Oh, twice the price for you.
You get all of your money stolen from other people? Twice the price.
Now, of course, not everybody who's a veteran is, you know, toting the flag or whatever.
There's a lot of them
that have realized, as I think it was General Smedley Butler back in the day, who wrote the book War is a Racket, where he revealed that he knew that he was being used as a corporate hitman, basically.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of guys that get in and they kind of see the truth.
Hats off to Smedley Butler for at least not making us an officially fascist nation. Do you know about that? It's alternately called the Business Plot or the Wall Street Coup.
I don't know.
Or, sorry, the Wall Street Putsch. So a bunch of very powerful businessmen in America. And you can Wikipedia this. It's an official part of history that just doesn't get talked about. But, yeah, a whole bunch of very, very powerful people, I believe, including Prescott Bush, the grandfather of W, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very powerful American business people got together and said, you know, we really just need to overthrow this government and replace it with a fascist government. Now, this was before America had defined itself as not fascist by winning against the Germans in World War II. So 1933 is when this happened. And they're like, yeah, let's just overthrow this. We'll replace it with a fascist government so that things work properly. And the plan was to make Smedley Butler the new Führer of America, basically.
Wow.
And he turned them in.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
the OG whistleblower.
Yeah. They came to him and they're like, "Yeah, we want to make you the top dog of this new government." Yeah. He turned them all in. Wouldn't you know it? They never saw court.
I bet.
Yeah, I put Smedley Butler and John Taylor Gatto sort of, you know, on my Mount Rushmore wall of, you know, revelation, if you will. Those folks who were inside the system and realized what it was and what they were doing, and then went ahead and let everybody know.
Snowden should be up there.
Snowden should be up there.
Let's go to the phones here. David's on the line in San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, it's funny you're talking to Smedley Butler. If I remember right, that, what was it, 1932 Butch or 33 or whatever it was?
Yeah, 33.
Those documents from the Senate are still considered top secret. They have never released the hearings. And it's funny, similarly in the JFK assassination, you know, they still haven't released all of the documents. And one of the main culprits, if you're into the JFK hearings, was the Pepsi-Cola bottling company.
Mm-hmm.
They had a mysterious meeting the night before Kennedy was killed, and it was at the JFK Bottlers Convention after party at Clint Murchison's house. And so I expect that the remaining top secret documents of the JFK assassination are tied to the Pepsi bottlers. But
well, let's point out, I mean, they got their fascist government. It just took them a little longer.
Oh, yeah, no, they got the fascist government. Yeah. They just didn't get the official fascist government.
They didn't get a coup, they didn't get to coup it into place. Yeah. They,
and that's exactly what Ryan was talking about, where, like, there is no distinguishable difference and separation between corporations and government, because the corporations do the will of the government.
They sure do.
And the government does the will of the corporations. So that is exactly what Benito Mussolini said fascism was mm-hmm. the combination of state power and corporations.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah, and it was an imitation of something that was emerging between the just before Mussolini was the King Leopold. And King Leopold pretended that he was that what he held in Africa, it was called the Belgian Congo, was his private estate, and that there were 15 million people living on there, but that no laws of Belgium applied to his private estate.
Hmm.
And he started hacking off hands. You know, if they didn't produce gold, if they didn't produce wealth for him every day, he would kill them. And he apparently killed about half the people. They went from 15 million down to 7 million people in the couple of decades that King Leopold had it. That old movie Apocalypse Now is based on a book about it called Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness.
Mm.
And so it's this idea that not just a vast land like the Belgian Congo can be owned by a private individual, but that no laws applied to them, that he was their owner. And so the Mussolini and Rocco were jealous of that, and they tried to create a government based upon that fallacy, that madness. And so it's when you start looking at the current crop of people, like the way we got rid of kings back in before 1776, it was called the social contract. Where that we the people decide on certain things in modern world, we decide to drive on the right hand, we decide to have red, green, and yellow traffic lights, we decide to read right to left with left to right.
Well, hold on, you're conflating custom and social contract,
and industry standard.
No, well, they're absolutely different. So social contract theory is it's a con, and what it states is that you agree, whether you agree or not, to this contract by being a part of society. Now, and because you are part of this contract, it has the authority to do all of these terrible things to you. Now, a contract, by the way,
that has never been written down in any meaningful sense.
I've never gotten
and essentially means that the details of the contract are they tell you what to do and you do it.
Right.
That's
whereas a custom, on the other hand, is something that I can voluntarily choose to stop doing.
Are you part of society?
I am part of a society, not what you would consider society, I think.
Society is a voluntary association of individuals who've come together for a common purpose. And what you're describing, because I know, you know, you've called the show before, David, and you get what you're describing when you say society is you mean the government, the people
You remember, I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Green Party member.
I've probably dealt with
more opposition. I've probably been arrested far more times than you have for protesting the government. And
how many times have you been arrested, David?
Well, I'd say in about 50 times.
That's pretty impressive. Well, you must have a much more important opinion.
Well, I have the opinion that this government is supposed to belong to you and me, and that if there are
impossible.
There's no evidence for that.
Fundamentally impossible. That is part of the con. That is part of the marketing that they do to get you to avoid trying to make something of your own that does the same things.
Indoctrination.
So, like,
are there pretenders to the throne?
The throne is a pretense.
Right?
The throne is a pretense. The idea that there are people who have different moral rules than you is a con job.
Again, we the people own this country. Whether you
what
like
does that
it
even
or not,
mean?
Yeah.
Well, do you get?
I own nothing with you. You don't get any of what's mine. I don't get any of what's yours.
I don't want to own anything with David in San Francisco. And when you say we own the country, do you mean the people calling themselves the United States government? Because that's different from the country. Most people, when they think of the country, they mean like the land, the hills, the mountains, you know, the ocean, that kind of the lakes, etc. But the state, the United States federal government, is a organization of people, and I have no ownership stake in that. I have no interest in owning a piece of that because it's a violent agency. Why would you want to own that?
That you and I can walk into any library, we can walk into a public courthouse, we can walk into the public swimming pool and have use of it as free agent citizens of this United States of America.
Not if you got a gun on your hip, you can't walk into a courthouse.
It's not
allowed to show an ID.
Those are privileges that are granted to us by our rulers, David.
If you're going to ask for trouble by wearing a gun into a courthouse, then that's your problem.
So all of those things that you've mentioned, those are privileges that can be revoked at any time by your rulers.
No, it can't be.
No,
absolutely. And for you to pretend that it can be,
you don't understand the difference between a privilege and a right, then, David. I mean,
to go to the swimming pool, to go to the library. What do you think's going on in Florida where they're burning books, where they're taking books off?
So you don't think a court can tell you you're not allowed to use the swimming pool anymore?
Well, if you want to ignore an epidemic, let's say, like 3 years worth of epidemic.
I don't care what reasoning they have or whether that's sound or not. The point is they get to decide whether or not they're used, the court.
Do you ever go to a city council meeting and speak your mind?
Yeah, and it means absolutely nothing. I've done it multiple times.
Well,
I can tell you one thing. The court doesn't give a damn what you have to say. You don't own the court. They're going to do whatever they want to do, and they don't really care what your opinion is.
Can you ruin your reputation, or do other people do it for you? You know,
you don't control your reputation.
The social contract, the real purpose I called was to ask that guy who was trying to have his new kind of Bitcoin, his new cryptocurrency, what is the collateral? Right? And so what you're talking about in terms of the social contract or America or anything else, you're trying to compare the money against the U.S. dollar, right? And whether or not your new little cryptocurrency is going to be able to compare itself against the U.S. dollar.
There is no comparison.
Are you
the crypto dash itself is far superior to the United States dollar in almost every way, shape, and form.
But you're still trying to compare it against the dollar, right?
No, I'm not trying to compare it at all. In fact, I think the dollar is antique. I think it is barbaric and needs to go away. It's a horrible way to transmit value. Well, what the collateral is, however, David, is mathematics. That's what the collateral is in cryptocurrency.
So where do you get those numbers? Is it based upon any kind of reality? Is it based on the laws of physics?
Mathematics is reality, dude. Mathematics is physics. Hello?
Math.
Some of it is.
Are you going to deny that math exists?
Well, but are there con artists too?
So
are there,
hold
people
on.
Who will play fly by night numbers?
Two things.
You mean like the Federal Reserve?
One, we're not actually trying to compare this to money. What we are trying to do is solve the problems that are solved not as effectively as we would like by money. But I'd like to understand your question. What do you mean the collateral? Like, what is the collateral for the U.S. dollar?
Well, I'll give you a big example that's coming up right now. The Saudi Arabians want to sell their oil, but they don't want to use the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency.
They are
right?
threatening that, and I really hope they pull the trigger on it.
Okay, so I would consider you're a saboteur, but let's keep that to
I am absolutely a saboteur for the United States federal government, without a doubt. They are the most murderous agency on the face of the earth, and I absolutely want to throw as many shoes into those gears as possible.
And my relationship with them is completely involuntary.
So say you're a farmer, and you've got a fair crop in. You know, you put in soybeans, they get a decent price. But all of a sudden, the U.S. dollar starts to shudder. It can't decide whether to go up or down, and you're dealing with tonnage of real soybeans, but you don't know what kind of price you're going to get from it because the Kevin McCarthy pals are trying to jeopardize the collateral.
Sounds like I should price it in something else, like gold or Bitcoin or Dash.
Okay, and what region of the world do you live in?
Well,
are you a
so
farmer
Bitcoin
in Oklahoma?
Actually works everywhere on Earth simultaneously, so that's not
farmer?
Relevant to what you're saying.
Okay, and so if somebody were to have some Bitcoin, would they be able to buy gasoline to be able to have all of that tonnage of soybeans hauled to another, not just to another state, but to another to a port, so that you could transfer it into tonnage into another?
Let's run this on a more graspable to your mind hypothetical. Let's imagine that there is, say, the Swiss franc, and while this dollar is currently very volatile and questionable, the Swiss are being very, very conservative with their franc, and it's a nice, stable currency. Now, I could price in the Swiss franc, and you're right, I would have to translate that into dollars in order to buy American fuel, but that doesn't mean that pricing is less useful in that stable currency.
If you want to actually get something done rather than go through three or four different layers, then good luck with that. But what my point again to the collateral, of what the Saudis are trying to do is to basically convince the world that the U.S. dollar is not worth it.
They're right.
Now, coincidentally, the House of Representatives, who are claiming to be patriots, are taking risks with the collateral of America.
What is the collateral that you keep talking about?
Yeah, you keep using this term that you haven't told us what the heck you're talking about.
Well, gosh, have you ever heard of the United States dollar as the reserve currency for the world?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you've got a few bucks in your wallet right now, are you going to just go out there and burn them, or are you going to actually be able to use them, buy a pack of whatever you buy, right? So are you going to abandon the U.S. dollars? Tangibly.
Yes.
Absolutely. Those of us who are sane and understand that the dollar is backed by no collateral whatsoever, there is no backing whatsoever.
I'll push back on David. The United States dollar is backed by some form of collateral, and that is the full faith, force, and might of the government, and that is to say all of the guns.
You talk about murder,
and I'm talking about
really
nuclear bombs.
Oh, that collateral.
No,
okay.
It's not threat, and you can't exchange it.
You can't exchange it for blood, though. You can't. It's violence is what backs the dollar. You're correct about that.
Do you buy gasoline?
So what about it?
So when you go down to the gas station, do you know that you're getting a gallon's worth? Do you know that the meter is properly clicking so that you actually get a gallon?
Are you going to try to tell me that we need to have the government to make sure that there's a gallon of gas coming out?
I have a gas tank that is a finite amount of gasoline, and so when I'm empty, if I have a 15-gallon tank and I fill up my gas tank and it says I got about 15 gallons worth of gas on the pump, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's how much gas I got, David.
And if you didn't, you wouldn't stay in business. Like if your quote unquote gallon is a quarter gallon or half gallon, you won't stay in business.
It's like
for
your weed dealer shorten your bag by a gram or whatever. You're like, come on.
This has really happened. Was it down in North Carolina when they had that gasoline pipeline got sabotaged by that cyber hacker? People in that region for about 2 weeks didn't know squat about what kind of gasoline.
You know,
they
I don't get, care
right?
about. I don't care much about what you're talking about concerning the market, because all of the evils that you're focusing on with regards to the market are tiny in comparison to the evils committed by government every frickin' day.
Well, your fear-mongering doesn't impress me, because I've been living through...
Oh, we're not trying to convince you, David. Don't worry.
And fear isn't actually what we're aiming at. What we're aiming at is replacing this non-functional system with a functional system. So, like, you were asking me, would I set my dollar bills on fire? I would no sooner do that than to send my Bitcoin Satoshis to an invalid address.
Yeah.
For the same reason, because both of them can be exchanged for goods and services that I value.
The real fear-mongering going on here, David, is the threatening of by the United States to foreign entities that they're going to keep using the dollar or else. That's the real fear-mongering, and you're participating in it. We want a peaceful solution. We want the end of violence. We want voluntary associations in every possible human interaction, something government does not give you and never will.
Thank you for the call tonight, David. The number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. You can, of course, bring up anything you want. And those of us that do understand that the dollar will likely not be the world reserve currency forever, that the Federal Reserve, the federal government, are printing more and more of these dollars out over time. In fact, I think some people say that 40% of all of the dollars that exist today were printed within the last couple of years during the whole COVID situation. People understand that that leads to prices going up because that is inflating the money supply. Would be wise to consider getting into something besides the dollar, and I don't mean other government currencies.
And the collateral really is certainty. Like the proof of work system adds more certainty to that blockchain than exists in any other part of human existence.
Because this math that backs the system is absolutely certain.
And the energy that did that math is higher than any other single endeavor.
We got more coming up. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. with a news update. President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy spoke tonight about the debt ceiling, and CNN reports the House GOP will brief its members about the call later on this evening. The U.S. Coast Guard is calling off its search for a Louisiana teenager who went overboard on a graduation boating trip in the Bahamas. The agency ended efforts to find 18-year-old Cameron Robbins on Saturday, following a two-day search for the recent high school graduate. The Texas House has decided to impeach Attorney General Ken Paxton. The vote was 121 to 23, with Paxton now suspended from office pending a Senate trial. Pope Francis is back on his regular schedule a day after being sidelined with a fever. The Pope addressed artists and writers from across the globe during a conference at the Vatican on Saturday. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join the show. We have time for you. You want to join us at 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want to discuss at 603-283-6160. And Porcupine Real Estate is doing some webinars. You've been hearing us talk for years on this show about the migration of liberty-oriented people, people who understand what liberty actually is, that government is, of course, a violent organization and needs to be ended. Peacefully,
it's,
of course.
It's not just that it's a violent organization. It's that it's based on violence. It's a fundamental part.
And it's in a monopoly on violence.
Yes.
And if you understand these things, you ought to move together with like-minded people, because it makes a huge difference to actually have a community of people together in the same place that agree with these ideas. And so the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate are going to make it easy for you. They're going to answer your questions on their upcoming webinars and present to you some of the reasons why you ought to be considering a move here to New Hampshire, like some of the gun freedoms that we have here in New Hampshire, medical freedoms, political freedom victories. They'll also be talking about best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. You can sign up for these webinars. They are free to attend. All you got to do is go to move.freetalklive.com, and that'll take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website
with the sign-up page there. Just get signed up, and then you can attend. If you got questions, you can ask those questions of the what I would call experts at Porcupine Real Estate. They know the lay of the land. They know the real estate market, and they're also free staters. They're people who've migrated here largely to achieve more liberty in their lifetime. So they know the community. They know what's going on, and it's a great resource. Plus, you can also watch the previous episodes or the previous webinars going to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. So you can see what they've already done, get a feel for it, and then go get signed up for the upcoming ones at move.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here.
Real quick, yes. Before you go to the phones, I just want to say one more thing about our previous caller, David from San Francisco.
Yeah.
He mentioned the social contract repeatedly.
Oh, he's obsessed with it.
I just want to, for our listeners.
Pure fantasy.
For our listeners, a contract is an agreement between two parties, which is signed off on by those two parties.
Yes, you have to have an offer, you have to have consideration, you have to have acceptance, meeting of the minds, I believe.
And
none of which are present with the social contract.
Right, exactly. And so it doesn't even meet the definition of contract, but yet it uses the word.
Right.
It's not a social contract, it's a lie.
Yeah, and a custom, on the other hand. So if I decided that I wanted to write from right to left, well, let's find out how many people I can get to agree with me.
Right.
Yes, henceforth, we will read and write from right to left. We can just do that.
In Asia, you get a lot of people agreeing with you.
Yeah.
They do that there.
And there's another thing called industry standard, right, that really requires no government involvement whatsoever. And, in fact, industries have done this time and time and again as industries grow up. Take toilets, for example. Do you think it's an act of government that when you need to buy a new toilet seat that the bolt holes just line up?
Right.
No. The industry got together and said, hey, guys, just for the ease of everybody, let's make the bolt holes, whatever the distance is, and this big around, and that kind of thing. That's an industry standard. Happens all the time. Regarding traffic, his example about the lights and stuff, like, come on, the internet exists. It directs far more traffic than any road has ever done. Mm-hmm. And yes, humans do glide upon the information superhighway. So it is doing way more than roads could ever do without any government oversight and regulation into how it directs traffic. So.
Yeah. What happens a lot of the time is that the government jumps out in front of the parade.
Right.
So human beings are naturally regulating their behavior because that's what human beings do.
Yep.
They do so according to the standards of their culture, their society. And then government says, I did that. And says, if you stop doing this, I will put you in jail.
Right.
So then if you actually need to change that, say you discover that this little plant is not actually a terribly harmful substance, but actually quite useful and healthful, then you can't change that because government has already said, no, we locked that cultural norm into place.
Let me go to the phones here. I got Tim on the line. All of a sudden, full phones. Tim is in Florida. Go ahead.
Hey, do you think David in San Francisco wears a flower in his hair?
I don't know, man. You got anything else?
So, I've got a new definition for government. Permanent inefficiency in the supply chain that interrupts the market and keeps people in poverty.
That's what a government's for.
Yeah,
getting a man's way.
And it enriches its buddies, right? Keeping the people in poverty and transferring their wealth to their friends, the big corporations, the politically connected, that kind of thing.
And it is the inefficiency that we are attempting to route around.
Thank you, Tim, for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to Jet on the line in wherever he is. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, so let's call in real quick and say, all the discussions we've had over the time, we've talked about violent people and psychopaths and all this stuff. But more and more, what it tells me is that the only message we should really be promoting is that some people are not more equal than others, that everyone is the same. So no matter what title you give them, no matter what office you give them, they have no more right to do anything than you or I. It's like if we promote that message and ask people, well, who is involved in this social contract? Who gets to make the rules? Why do they make the rules? Why can't I make the rules? You know, that's what I do when people say, well, we need rules. I say, well, who's going to make the rules? Do I get to make the rules? Well, no, not you.
Well, I think David, if you were here, would say, we the people make the rules. You vote for your representatives. They go into a room and they argue about what the rules should be. That's the system you agreed to.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if we promote the message, everybody is equal. No one gets to be more equal. In other words, there's no God-given right for anyone to rule over another. That really is my only message these days.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we've got to convince enough people of that before we will get rid of these institutions, which absolutely...
That's why I say you hit them and you hit them and you hit them. You just hit them over and over.
Yeah, the titles...
What gives them the power? What gives them the right? Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Yeah, the titles are a really big part of the con. Like, a huge part of their marketing is to give these special names to certain people and say, oh, those rules don't apply to these people because that's a judge, a politician, a police officer.
They're just other humans.
Yep.
They don't get to do anything that you or I don't get to do, period.
Thank you, Jet, for the call tonight. I appreciate the thoughts. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. Unfortunately, we got a long way to go. And while we are pretty good about getting that message out, we need to have a better strategy. And I think the Free State Project, the movement, the migration, the physical vote with your feet, migration of getting liberty-minded people who understand what Jet's talking about to the same geographic area so we can have an actual influence on society, so we can have an influence on government. We were discussing this last night on the show. As much as I would love to just be able to ignore the state and have them just whittle away and go away, disappear, until we can shift the perspective of the masses, that's never going to happen. As long as people still believe in the idea of the state or the necessity of that concept, then it's never going to go away, no matter how many, you know, like-minded people we get, unless we get a supermajority or something like that, which obviously there's not enough libertarians, I don't think, to do that. And not enough of them are willing to physically move somewhere. So that's why, you know, it's important to have people concentrated, because you can actually impact society. You can, even with a small group of people, you can impact society. And we've seen that happening here in New Hampshire to some extent, where the libertarians are taken very seriously when it comes to the political system. In fact, there was just a poll that was done, and I haven't put out the details yet, but it just came out. The numbers just came out this weekend. They haven't been publicized yet. I've got them. Alu Axelman has a copy of them, so we're both working on some news pieces about this. But the poll is about independence. The poll was asking New Hampshire people this year. We did one last year, and so it's time to do it again, right? Let's do it every year. Let's see how the numbers change over time. This particular poll was done by the University of New Hampshire, which is a well-respected polling firm here in New Hampshire. They do a monthly poll called the Granite State Poll. It usually addresses different issues. So, for instance, marijuana was in this particular poll. Immigration was in this poll. The debt ceiling
was in this poll. How do I take this poll?
You would get randomly contacted by UNH, and then they might allow you into the poll. There was 1,100 and change participants. So
you had a whole poll of marijuana?
No, that would be a lot. Yeah, I don't think I could take that. Now, I haven't used marijuana since I got arrested in
big ruling
2021.
Right?
But this particular poll also had some questions about independence. And the bad news is the numbers were down by about half in certain cases compared to last year. Of course, the questions weren't exactly the same, so it's not really comparing apples to oranges if you're not asking the exact same question. So I have some numbers, tallied up and that sort of thing. But one of the interesting things, when you get these polls, you can dig into the demographics and look and see, well, where was it strong? Where was support for independence the strongest, and where was it the weakest? And they also, of course, have people broken down by their self-described political viewpoint. And I thought it was interesting that in the demographics for how do you describe yourself politically, there was a line for libertarian, and it was like over 10%. Of the polling results, of the people that were taking this poll, over 10% of them self-described as libertarian.
Interesting.
Nice. Which I thought was, you know, pretty decent, all things considered.
Heck yeah.
You know, that's a nice little chunk of people that support our ideas enough to where they would self-identify as a libertarian. I didn't want to get too far into the details on the poll because I don't have them in front of me.
I look forward to the rest of it, though.
But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't the...
Would have liked
to have seen the numbers go up, but...
Where can our listeners find this when you publish it?
It'll be at nhexit.us.
Okay.
Well... I think a lot of the fervor for change was dissipated because of things like the January 6th thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, we tried to do a thing and it didn't work. Okay. And then people feel satisfied that they have at least attempted to change this system. In the same way as I think a lot of the dissatisfaction with the institutions during the lockdowns was pressure relief. By the rioting that occurred. Mm. Like, all of that irritation and frustration with the circumstance, which was completely unnecessary and imposed on us by government, a lot of that frustration and irritation, which should have been focused at the people doing these things, at the institutions of government forcing you to not work, and thus go, hey, how do we get out of this circumstance? A lot of that emotional energy was just vented through destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then that satisfied the urge to change things.
Yeah, people calm down. Oh, and now police abuse still going on, but there's no proposals that are seriously being taken to actually change things significantly.
Yeah, and in the same way with electing Trump, I think that satisfied a lot of mm-hmm. people's itch to change things because, oh, well, he's an outsider and he's so different and he's not a politician.
Look at everything that he changed.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he needs another 4 years, and then he'll be able to make the changes. Speaking of the politicians, they're already touting that they've reached a deal on the debt ceiling. You knew that was going to happen.
Real surprise.
Last minute, they've come to an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. And, of course, if you believe...
Hold on. I'm getting a premonition. Lots more money will still be spent on military.
I suspect so. There's no real details out at this moment, just a bunch of politicians blowing hot air like this McCarthy guy who said the deal has historic reductions in spending, which...
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so just to put this into perspective, so they had another $4 trillion to run the government for the rest of the year, mm-hmm. which is about how much money they ran the entire government for the entire year
before
in 2017.
Yeah.
So we're not talking like a crazy rollback here. We're just talking like... Run it like it was in 2017, like that level of budget. And no, we had plenty of money for that.
He claims...
But no, we got to spend way, 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 way more money.
Any reduction that they're claiming will not be a reduction in spending. What it will be is a reduction in the rate of debt accumulation,
mm-hmm.
which is a different thing.
Which, of course, will be completely ignored anyway. I mean, if you believe this guy, I got a bridge to sell you. But here's the rest of what he said. It has historic reductions in spending, consequential reforms that will lift people out of poverty, because the government's always been good at doing that, right? And into the workforce and rein in government overreach. Yes, he says there are no new taxes and no new government programs.
You know, if I'm at home and, I don't know, I'm mowing my lawn or something and my lawnmower doesn't work anymore, I don't try to reform the lawnmower, right? It's broken. I need to replace it or get rid of it and find another way to handle my lawn. Maybe I replace the lawn altogether. I don't know. But, like, I certainly don't reform it, right? This word reform keeps coming up in politics all mm-hmm. the time. And it's got to make you question because I've heard it thousands of times. It's like, well, why are we forming these things in the first place that constantly need to be reformed? Why can't anybody get it right? Oh, I see, because it's not designed to get it right.
And how exactly is this new form going to be so different from the old one?
Right. And who's going to guarantee that you get it right this time and it's not going to have to be reformed yet again?
Let's go to Ricky. He's in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Captain Peakless Mountaineer. Good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was going to talk to Ryan, but, you know, I got something interesting to talk about. You know, I said it 6 years ago, and I'll say it again. I don't like statists or status sympathizers. And I heard this guy since I've come back, David from San Francisco.
I don't care
if he says he's a Green Party member. I'm confused about that too. The man's a status. He's a status beyond belief. And I think
what is a status?
A status?
Yeah, you
keep using this word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
What's that, Ricky? Huh? What does it mean?
A status is somebody that believes in the state. I think it's beyond that. They put their heart and soul and everything into it. You know, that's their way of life, their status.
What's the difference between a statist and a federalist?
You mean a federalist? Well, they're close. They're close to it. It's kind of like an older brother and like a little bit of a younger brother.
Aren't you a federalist, Ricky?
Huh?
Aren't you a federalist?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I thought you'd self-described.
He calls himself a conservative Democrat.
I wear the Southern Cross. Are you kidding me there?
Yeah, I thought you were a Confederate.
Oh, Confederate. Thank you. Confederate.
Not a conservative.
That's not a Confederacy.
Is a form of state, Ricky.
Yes, but before we go into that.
That makes you a statist.
I'm going to correct you with that. I believe in secession. I believe in blowing away the federal government. That's number one. And as far as that, I don't want anybody joining PA. No, we want to leave this alone, you know?
But you're fine with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is basically a state, right?
Well, not quite. We talked about this with Jay. It's called an association. That's what's up now.
Will they do violence against you if you don't pay their association dues?
Oh, the feds?
No, Pennsylvania people.
No, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that you are imagining.
Excuse me?
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as you are imagining it. Would they or would they not do violence? Yeah, do violence.
Well, here's the point. I'm talking about not now, but post-secession. When it's post-secession, we can change everything. Post-secession.
Okay, yes or no, Ricky? Yes or no? Yes or no? Post-secession. No. I'm not talking now. I'm talking the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, post-secession, as you imagine it. Would they or would they not do violence against me if I decided to live there and not pay them for that association?
There would be no association because there'd be no more federal government.
We're not talking about the federal government.
See, that's what I was saying, association. Puerto Rico, right now, there's a bill that went through the House, I found out. Once again, the
is there going to be, hold on, out. Is there going to be, in your future seceded Pennsylvania, presumably still a Commonwealth, quote unquote,
is there still
going to be buildings run by the Commonwealth and people paid by the Commonwealth to do various different tasks?
See, the way I envision it, I would see the elimination of all taxes except for, I would hate to say it, you would have to have a little something, maybe 2%, 4%, or maybe a sales tax, just to pay for something.
To quote the great Ron Paul, 1% tax is 100% of the principal.
Now,
you already disqualified yourself as somebody who is against statism if you are advocating for taxes.
Yes, but here's the question. Now, I don't think anarchy is a good answer because most people could not handle anarchy. Pure anarchy.
Most people handle pure anarchy in the vast majority of the decisions that they make
on a daily basis, and the vast majority
of how they live their lives every single day.
This is the statement made by a statist, by the way, Ricky, to say that Ricky knows that people can't handle this freedom stuff. We've got to have control. We got to have taxes.
You can't trust people, so let's get a little group of people together and give them all of our trust.
That's not the idea.
Yeah, but that's what you were just talking about. That's what taxes are,
dude. But I got a question for Peekless. Okay, so say we get that 60%. We secede tomorrow. We create the new government, okay, here in Pennsylvania. No government at all. No government.
Oh, you're talking about Pennsylvania.
You mean you and the other Pennsylvanians. Okay.
That would be the idea. So we say no government at all. We secede tomorrow and no government whatsoever. So we're going to do, how are we going to do?
I'm a move real quick.
Huh?
I'm a move real quick. I'll move to Pennsylvania. You do that. Sorry, you were asking me a question. Go ahead.
My point is, it almost happened more than once, including in the 90s. But the point is, half Congressman Cartwright. He was asked about it.
What was the question you had?
The question? You secede. You vote no government. How do you what?
I think they're really see as far as no government at all in modern times. Hey, I would be fine with no government in Pennsylvania, but how would it work? How would people be able to live now being used to the way it was? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, plus...
I have an answer for you. It's one word, Ricky. Are you listening, Ricky? Here's the answer. One word.
Yeah.
Voluntarily. That's how.
Yeah.
All of your agreements now suddenly become 100% voluntary.
Yeah, like
you're no longer forced to do anything or act in a certain way or whatever. Now you can just decide for yourself what you want to do and live up to your agreements and agree with whoever you want to.
Yeah, let me give you a few examples of that. So the police department or the roads or the courts. So these would all still exist because there's a need for them. We need these things to get about our lives. What would change is just that there would be a market for them. It's just that no one would shoot me for trying to do a different court system. No one would shoot me for trying to make my own road system. No one would shoot me for doing security in this area with these willing participants.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. Let's talk to Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, you guys have had some crazy calls tonight. As far as old King Richard there, and what was that guy's name from San Francisco? Scott? Steve?
David. In San Francisco.
David. All right. So it just kind of reminded me of an old psychiatrist joke. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a flat tire?
How many?
Well, really, the tire has to want to change.
Exactly. And most people can't handle the truth, much less change.
No, that's true. People do really, they hate change. People really are frustrated
and change-averse,
stressed by that.
There's something in the corporate world called change management that they'll teach you about, and that is, okay, you've identified that there's going to be a change. The first thing you got to do is let everybody know that there's going to be a change.
So they can prepare themselves.
So that they can prepare
it.
For the change, mm-hmm. right? Then, once everybody gets prepared for the change, you go back over the change with everybody, and then you finally make the change. And then, you know, there might be some training involved before the change and all that kind of thing. And then eventually the change happens. It takes a monumental effort to make the one change.
I wish we had more time, but y'all will later in about a half an hour, 10:30 Eastern Time. Beard Talk Live will kick off, but it's only on our video streaming platform. So check out watch.freetalklive.com. Be there in about a half an hour,
uncensored.
And, yeah, there's no pesky FCC. If anybody that's on hold right now, which we didn't get to all the calls, just hang on, and they'll get you on in the after show, which is Beard Talk Live tonight.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.